Let us humbly bow our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you on this evening's hour to give glory and praise to your holy name. We ask, Father, that you, as we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, that you would be with us and bless us. As we come before you this evening to give glory to your name and to give praise, we ask, Father, that your word would be mighty upon us, and that you would guide us according to your word. Forgive us, Father, for our sins. We thank you, Father, for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And we thank you for calling us out of your sinful world into your marvelous life. Keep us, Father. Keep us in the hollow of your hand as the apple of your eye. We ask that you would continue to watch over your servants and bless them. Bless those that have a petition before you on the prayer list. And, Father, forgive each and every one of us of our sins, because we know that the shed blood of Yahshua the Messiah cleanses all our sins. But it's only if we're repentant sinners. And we ask, Father, that we would be repentant and sorry for any sins that we've committed against you. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. This message is entitled, Yahshua, our Rave Chief. We're going to start over in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 9. Leviticus 23, verse 9. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when you have come into the land which I will give you to you, and shall reap the harvest of it, then you shall bring the chief of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. So the first thing you do when you have a harvest is you're going to bring that chief of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh to be accepted for you on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. So this has to be the day after the Sabbath, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It says, and on that day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And in the day when you shall wave the sheaf, you shall offer a he lamb without blemish, a year old, for a burnt offering to Yahweh. And the meal offering of it shall be 2/10 parts of an ephah fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire to Yahweh for a sweet savor. And the drink offering of it shall be of wine, a fourth part of a hen. And you shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh ears until this very day, until you have brought the oblation of your Elohim. It is a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwelling. I'll turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 16. We'll see a companion passage. Deuteronomy chapter 16. And on this one, we're going to start in verse 9. Seven weeks shall you number to yourself from the time that you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. You shall begin to number 7 weeks. And you shall keep the feast of weeks to Yahweh your Elohim with a tribute of a freewill offering of your hand, which you shall give according as Yahweh your Elohim blesses you. And you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim and your son and your daughter, and your manservant and your maidservant, and the Levite that is within your gate, and the sojourner, and the fatherless, and the widow that are in the middle of you, in the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. And you shall remember that you are a bondman in Egypt, and you shall observe and do these statutes. Drop down to verse 16. It says, three times in the year shall all your males appear before Yahweh your Elohim in the place which ye shall choose. In the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. They shall not appear before Yahweh empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of Yahweh, your Elohim, which he has given you. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. You shall surely tithe all the increase of your seed, that which comes forth from the field year by year, and you shall eat before Yahweh Elohim in the place which you shall choose, to cause his name to dwell there, the tithe of your grain, of your new wine, and of your oil, and of the firstling of your herd, and of your flock, that you may learn to fear Yahweh Elohim always. So this is the second tithe which is commanded, so that you will be able to come before Yahweh during these three times of, in the year, and to give glory to him and to learn of him, learn to fear Yahweh. Verse 25, and if the way is too long for you, so that you're not able to carry it, because the place is too far from you, which Yahweh Elohim shall choose, to set his name there, when Yahweh Elohim shall bless you, then shall you turn it into money, and bind up the money in your hand, and shall go to the place which Yahweh Elohim shall choose. And you shall use the money for whatever your soul desires, for oxen, for sheep, for wine, for strong drink, or for whatever your soul asks of you. And you shall eat there before Yahweh Elohim, and you shall rejoice, you and your household, and the Levite that is within your gates. You shall not forsake him, for he has no portion nor inheritance with you. And then it talks about the third tithe. At the end of every 3 years, you shall bring forth all the tithes of your increase in the same year, and shall lay it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the sojourner, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within your gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that Yahweh Elohim may bless you in all the work of your hands which you do. So Yahweh has made provisions for everyone. For the Levite, for the sojourner, for the fatherless and the widow. He is very caring. Turn over to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua and some of the books. We're going to look at verses 10 to 12. It says, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening in the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched grain in the same day. And the manna ceased on the next day after they had eaten of the produce of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. The day after the Sabbath, they were able to eat these unleavened cakes of the grain that was grown in the Promised Land. Joshua, our wave sheaf, we know that the wave sheaf had to be offered. It was the offering of the first fruits, the Bikurim. To John chapter 12. John chapter 12. In verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks among those that went up to worship at the feast. These therefore came to Philip, who was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we want to see Joshua. Philip comes and tells Andrew, and Andrew comes and Philip, and they tell Joshua. And Joshua answers them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, except a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He that loves his life loses it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life. If any man may serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man may serve me, him will the Father honor. We do our best to serve Almighty Yahweh and Yahshua, because we want to be in the kingdom, even though we know what he had to go through. When we enter into this baptism in Yahshua's name, we've entered into his death. All of the apostles except one died a martyr's death. And they tried to kill John as well, boiling him in oil. But he didn't die. So he was the only one that lived out being an old man. But all the rest died a martyr's death. And we entered into that same covenant. So except a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And Yahshua is a lot more than a grain of wheat. And he died for each one of us. And he is our wave sheaf. Just like he's our Passover lamb, he is our wave sheaf offering. Let's look further into this chapter. He says, verse 27, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. There came, therefore, a voice out of heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The multitude, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Yahshua answered and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. But this he said, signifying by what manner of death he should die. The multitude therefore answered him, we have heard out of the law that the Messiah remains forever. And how do you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Yahshua therefore said to them, yet a little while is the light among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness overtake you not. And he that walks in the darkness knows not where he goes. While you have the light, believe on the light, that you may become sons of the light. Mark chapter 16. Starting in verse 1, it says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Miriam Magdalene and Miriam, the mother of Jacob and Salome, brought spices that they might come to anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb near sunrise. And they were saying among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the tomb? And looking up, they see that the stone is rolled back. But was very great. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, arrayed in a white robe, and they were amazed. And he says to them, be not amazed, you seek Yahshua the Nazarene, who has been impaled. He has been raised. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said to you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for the trembling and astonishment had come upon them, and they had said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, when he had been raised early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary and Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had seen of her, disbelieved. And after these things, he was manifested in another form to two of them as they walked. This is on the road to Emmaus, on their way into the country. And they went away and told to the rest, neither believed they them. And afterward, he was manifested to the 11 themselves as they sat at meat. And he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start there in verse 1. Matthew 28:1. Now late on the Sabbath day, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Miriam Magdalene and the other Miriam to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of Yahweh descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was as lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the watchers did quake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, fear not, for I know that you seek Yahshua who has been impaled. He is not here, but he has been raised, even as he said, come and see the place where the master lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he has been raised from the dead. And lo, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the tomb, with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And behold, Yahshua met them, saying, all hail. And they came and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then says Yahshua to them, fear not. Go tell my brethren that they depart into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Says in verse 11, now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came to the city and told the chief priests all the things that would come to pass. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave much money to the soldiers, saying, say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and rid you of care. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying was spread abroad among the Jews and continues until this day. John chapter 20. These are the different versions of what took place. But in John chapter 20, it says in verse 1, now on the first day of the week comes Miriam Magdalene early, while it was yet dark. We know in the Hebrew reckoning of things, the time sundown starts the new day. At the end of when it's sundown, the day starts, not at midnight. She came to the tomb and sees the stone taken away from the tomb. She runs, therefore, and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Yahshua loved, which was John. And says to them, they have taken away the rabbi out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter, therefore, went forth and the other disciple. And they went toward the tomb, and they ran both together. And the other disciple outran Peter, and came first to the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he sees the linen cloths lying, yet entered he not in. Simon Peter therefore also comes, following him, and entered into the tomb, and beholds the linen cloths lying, and the napkin that was upon his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then entered in therefore the other disciple, who first came to the tomb, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own home. But Miriam was standing outside at the tomb weeping. So as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Yahshua had lain. And they say to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" She says to them, "Because they have taken away my rabbi, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and beholds Yahshua standing, and knew not that it was Yahshua. Yahshua said to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Whom do you seek?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, says to him, "Sir, if you have borne him from here, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Yahshua says to her, "Miriam." She turns herself and says to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." Yahshua says to her, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my Elohim and your Elohim." Miriam Magdalene comes and tells the disciples, "I have seen the rabbi, and that he has said these things to her." Why did she think he was a gardener? Because he had the wave sheaf. See? He had the physical wave sheaf. Even though he was the wave sheaf himself, he had the physical wave sheaf that was supposed to be offered to the priest, so that he could wave them. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, so it's telling you this is Sunday, the first day of the week, the day after the Sabbath, when the wave sheaf was supposed to be offered, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Yahshua came and stood in the middle and says to them, "Peace be unto you," in Hebrew, "Shalom Aleichem." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the teacher. Yahshua therefore said to them, "Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven to them. And whose sins you retain, they are retained." So Yahshua showed them that he had risen. He was the Messiah. He was the wave sheaf. Yahshua is our wave sheaf. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15:20, it says, "But now has the Messiah been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in the Messiah shall all be made alive." But that's all of them that follow him, all of them that partake of his Holy Spirit. But each in his own order, the Messiah, the first fruits, then they that are the Messiah that is coming. Then comes the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to Yahweh. Even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be abolished, his death. For he put all things in subjection under his feet. And when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he has accepted who subjected all things to him. And when all things have been subjected to him, then shall the Son himself be also be subjected to him that did subject all things to him, that Yahweh may be all in all. Drop down to verse 50. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then the saying shall come to pass, it's written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to Elohim who gives us the victory through our sovereign, Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, knowing that your labor is not in vain in Yahweh. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, it says, and I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. The voice I heard was as the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sing as it were a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no man could learn the song except the 144,000, even they that had been purchased out of the earth. These are they that were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruits to Yahweh and to the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no lie. They are without blemish. Yahshua is our wave sheaf, brethren. He is the first of the first fruits. He is the example that each one of us must follow. He lived a life without sin. He was lifted up on the torture stake as that grain of wheat that dies in the earth and produces much wheat. Yahshua was lifted up so that all men would be drawn to him. Those who are seeking to be a part of the kingdom of Yahweh. Yahshua is our wave sheaf. He is the high priest. Not only did he receive the wave sheaf and offered it, as the priest, he was offered himself to Yahweh. As he told Miriam, do not touch me, for I have not ascended to the Father. But we know that he has fulfilled not only the Passover lamb, but the wave sheaf. He is the one that has given us that opportunity to be a part of the first fruits. Those who are faithful to Almighty Yahweh can be numbered among the 144,000. All we have to do is overcome this world and this life and Satan the devil. And Almighty Yahweh bless you as you seek to serve Him with one consent, as Joshua is our first fruit.